Hey everyone, welcome back to Cracking the Code, where we take the sometimes intimidating world of statistics and break it down into stories that make sense. Today, we're diving into an assignment that's all about using data to make sense of the world, whether that's understanding how far feral cats roam in Hawaii, figuring out if Americans really travel as much as they say they do, or comparing the beak sizes of seabirds. Now, I know statistics can sometimes feel like a giant puzzle with too many pieces, but today, we're going to step back, look at the bigger picture, and see how all those numbers actually tell a story. Let's get started. Part A. How big is a cat's world? Imagine you're standing on Mauna Kea, one of the highest peaks in Hawaii, looking out over an otherworldly volcanic landscape. Somewhere down below, a feral cat slinks through the brush. These cats, brought to the islands by humans, have become a major problem for native birds. Researchers want to know, how big is a feral cat's territory? And more importantly, how can we estimate this from just a handful of observations? In this study, 9 male cats were tracked, and their roaming ranges were measured. The numbers vary, some covering just under 8 square kilometers, others stretching over 20. That's a pretty big difference. Our job is to take these 9 numbers and make an educated guess about the true average home range for all male feral cats on Mauna Kea. First, we need to summarize what we have. We'll find the average range and the spread of the data, also known as the standard deviation. This tells us if most cats tend to roam similar distances or if there's a lot of variation. Now, here's where it gets interesting. We can't track every single cat on the mountain, so how confident can we be that our sample reflects the true average? This is where confidence intervals come in. Think of a confidence interval like a fishing net. It's a range of values that we think captures the true average home range. If our net is too small, we might miss the fish. If it's too big, we're being too vague. For a 90% confidence level, our net is moderately sized. We're fairly confident the true mean is in there. But if we go up to 99% confidence, the net has to get bigger. Why? Because if we want to be really sure, we need to cast a wider net. And here's the big question. If we use this method, could the true home range be 20 square kilometers? If our 99% confidence interval doesn't include 20, then we can be pretty certain that the average cat isn't roaming that far. Part B. Do Americans really travel that much? Now let's leave the volcanic landscapes of Hawaii and head into a much more familiar jungle, the world of survey data. You've probably heard someone say, "Everyone I know has a passport." But is that actually true? The official claim is that 37% of Americans have a valid passport. But how do we know if that number is right? That's where hypothesis testing comes in. Imagine you're a detective trying to verify a suspect's alibi. You collect some evidence, 348 people surveyed, and find that 141 of them say, "Yep, I've got a passport." That's about 40.5%, a little higher than the claimed 37%. But is it enough of a difference to call the original claim false? We set up two competing ideas. The null hypothesis, our innocent until proven guilty stance, says that the real passport rate is 37%. The alternative hypothesis, our challenger, says it's actually different. To settle this, we run a Z-test, which is like checking whether our survey result is surprising or just a normal fluctuation. If our test statistic is extreme enough, beyond a critical value, we reject the original claim. If not, we say, we don't have enough evidence to call it wrong. This is the backbone of statistical decision-making, not jumping to conclusions just because something looks different, but checking if that difference is big enough to matter. Part C. The beak battle, surf scotters versus white-winged scotters. Finally, we find ourselves by the water, watching seabirds dive and bob on the waves. Imagine holding a surf scotter in one hand and a white-winged scotter in the other. You notice something. Their bills look similar, but are they really the same size? Scientists often make claims about species differences, and here, someone has made a bold one. The average bill length of surf scotters is at least 39 millimeters. Is that true? To test this, we take a sample of surf scoter bill measurements, calculate their mean and standard deviation, and compare them against 39 millimeters using a one-sample t-test. A t-test is like playing a game of statistical tug-of-war. On one side, we have our sample data pulling us toward a new conclusion. On the other, we have the original claim, 39 millimeters, anchoring us in plaques.